Hey all, thanks for listening to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. Today I'm going to cover nitrofurantoin, which is a drug that is most commonly used as an antibiotic to treat urinary tract infections. Now its brand names that it goes by is Macrobid or Macrodantin. And a lot of times people get these brand names mixed up. Really, the primary difference is in dosing. And if you remember Macrobid, that is a twice-a-day drug. So remember BID at the end, and that'll help you remember that that is twice a day versus Macrodantin, which is generally dosed four times a day. Macrobid is that combination of basically the form of the drug, monohydrate, plus macrocrystals, and Macrodantin is macrocrystals only. But a big difference from a patient clinical perspective is Macrobid is dosed twice a day, and that is generally the one that we use most often there. Now, how this drug works, how this drug helps us, basically kill off bacteria, get rid of that infection, is this drug is actually altered by bacterial flavoproteins. And this forms these reactive metabolites, which can ultimately, block processes, interfere with processes surrounding bacterial protein synthesis. So kind of a little bit of a unique mechanism of action in that respect. Now, I mentioned that this drug is certainly used for UTIs, and that's really its primary and only major use. Now, one really, really important thing is nitrofurantoin is not that active against infections that may have systemic involvement. So if you get a situation where you've got, maybe more of an upper UTI syndrome or an infection where maybe the kidney is involved and you're at risk of systemic infection, this drug may not cover that infection as well. So generally, nitrofurantoin is going to be reserved for lower UTI type urinary tract infections. So very, very important to remember that if we do have some potential to have kind of a systemic infection or a larger infection maybe involving the kidneys, to likely avoid this drug and use other alternatives. Administration. Administration with food does help absorption. If there's a little bit of stomach upset or something too, certainly that may help with that as well. There is a risk with pregnancy, and particularly there's a contraindication from 38 to 42 weeks gestation, and this is due to the risk of hemolytic anemia. Okay, and with that, a test question I've seen definitely come up on pharmacology exams, final exams, board exams, is this thought of G6PD deficiency. And G6PD, or glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase, this deficiency in G6PD is associated with a higher risk of hemolytic anemia. So basically, this genetic variation can place patients at risk for this problem from this medication. So kind of a unique genetic situation there that can impact potential adverse effects and risks, of course. Adverse reactions, pretty much with antibiotic, you can, claim GI upset. One really unique one with nitrofurantoin that's fairly common is it does kind of discolor the urine. It may turn it into a brown or an orangish type color. So that can be very unnerving to patients where they might think their infection is getting worse or what's going on now. So definitely a good education point there about that change in urine color. Less common side effects, but notable side effects, neuropathy. That's kind of a unique side effect, maybe only thought of, you know, with chemotherapy agents or something like that. But with nitrofurantoin, that is possible. One other unique one is pulmonary toxicity. So if you have any patients reporting any nerve pain with a neuropathy or any challenges, symptoms, struggles with breathing, that's a very important thing for patients to recognize there. This drug does accumulate with kidney function reduction. So in patients who don't have adequate kidney function, you may see an accumulation of this drug. So historically, creatinine clearance of less than 60, that's a pretty high threshold. This drug has been contraindicated. There has been some, you know, evidence, research, that type of thing, that maybe it's okay to use in creatinine clearance of 30 to 60 mils per minute. And, you know, again, this is going to be a clinical determination, a risk versus benefit type assessment of, you know, susceptibilities, what other agents are available, you know, do they have allergies to other agents, and a good sound clinical reasoning as to whether the risk of using nitrofurantoin maybe in kind of that moderate kidney impairment, you know, 30 to 60 mils per minute, is worth it compared to, you know, not using it or if another agent is easily and readily available. So kind of some controversy about that, but definitely remember that if you've got somebody with kidney impairment, nitrofurantoin is either probably not going to be used, or we need to be really, really cautious with it. So definitely remember that. If somebody's got less than 30 mils per minute as far as their creatinine clearance, you're probably going to steer clear of this drug altogether. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we will finish up with drug interactions. If you're a pharmacist looking for test prep material, we've got Naplex, BCPS, BCACP, BCGP, all sorts of different board certification study material. Go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. Also got audiobooks available there, Amazon books available just for general clinicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, PAs, physicians, a few really good books there that really demonstrate clinical reasoning, you know, drug side effects, drug interactions, and really my perspective as a clinical pharmacist. So go check those resources out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And you can do that at meded101.com/store. Finishing up on drug interactions, I will say nitrofurantoin does not have a ton of drug interactions. So that is a plus in the category of antibiotics, because we know, you know, drugs like quinolone antibiotics, sulfamethoxazole, trimethoprim, you know, those drugs definitely do have a fair number of interactions that can be clinically significant for sure. So first one I want to talk about, I mentioned the food and the administration. So food does actually improve absorption, so we can get higher concentrations with food, which is, you know, generally a good thing if we're trying to treat an infection and get adequate concentrations. But just something to remember, if you have a patient that didn't take it with food or did, that may kind of sway those concentrations. There are a couple of rare vaccines. Cholera and typhoid are a couple examples where this drug, nitrofurantoin, may actually reduce effectiveness of the vaccine. So kind of a unique adverse reaction there, but just remember that if you've got a patient where we're giving some vaccines and, you know, maybe they're on chronic nitrofurantoin for UTI prophylaxis, you've got to remember that it can potentially blunt the response to some of those vaccines. And rarely there have been reports of hyperkalemia. Honestly, I have never seen it in clinical practice, but I know it is out there a little bit in the literature, and particularly hyperkalemia with the aldosterone antagonist, so aldactone, eplerenone. Now, another antibiotic that comes to mind when I think about hyperkalemia, is trimethoprim. That's another one that can definitely raise potassium levels in the setting of somebody, maybe on agents like those aldosterone antagonists that can raise those potassium levels already. So just something to think about, something to keep in mind. I would say it's, like I said, I've never seen it personally in clinical practice, but there is some literature out there to support that interaction can happen and potassium levels can go up. So if you've got somebody that's borderline, you know, maybe around a 5 or something like that, you know, there is risk with maybe adding a little nitrofurantoin on top of if they're already on spironolactone or something like that. I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Go to reallifepharmacology.com, get your 31-page top 200 study guide. Great little resource, you know, for final exams and comprehensive exams that kind of pulls out major clinical pearls and things you should know about those top 200 drugs. So that's absolutely free for following the blog and getting updates when there's new podcast out. Also got free Audible book. If you've never purchased an Audible book, you can go get that at meded101.com/store. I've got the link. Your first one is free with Audible. Pharmacotherapy and the Thrill of the Case are two kind of case study, clinical pearls type books that I have created. Very, very cool resource for any, you know, pharmacist, med student, PA student, nurse practitioner, and folks that are clinically oriented and have to think about using medications appropriately. So go support the sponsor, MedEd 101, and I will leave it at that for today. Thanks for listening.